From LA Times Studio and The Real, I'm Mark Olson. The year 1968 was one of great cultural and political turmoil, both here in the United States and around the world. As part of a recent package of stories touching on the legacy of 1968, I spoke to filmmaker Michelle Havanavises, an Oscar winner for The Artist, about his new film Godard, Mon Amour. The film is explicitly set against the events of 1968 in Paris, setting the romantic downfall between Anne Wiesemski and Jean-Luc Godard within the context of the times. Here are some excerpts from our talk. The timing of the release of your film is sort of perfect. We at the Los Angeles Times are just working on a whole package of stories about 1968 and sort of the events around the world of 1968. For you, why do you think that remains such an important year, a year that people, it really has like a grasp on the popular imagination? What to you is the kind of the importance of 1968?
Well, I think it's like the official social end of the post-war era. I would say it like this. I would say that this year, maybe because of the Vietnam War or something, the youth, really, the first post-war babies, they were like 20s or 18, and they really wanted some change in the way the world was ruled at this time. I see in France, for example, the president was the General de Gaulle. He was a hero from World War II. And he was an old man. He was a general from the army, and really, really old-fashioned. And he was really disconnected to the reality of the youth. I mean, people were listening to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and they were fans of Brigitte Bardot and Jean-Luc Godard, and he was really disconnected with that kind of population, and they literally took the street to express that they were existing. The strange thing is it was the same all over the world. It was a massive movement. Once again, I think it's because the post-war babies were growing up and they were free enough, or they felt free enough to say, we live in a free world and we want freedoms.
And what was it about the memoir by Anne Wiesemski that sort of struck you? What was it about that book that made you want to adapt it into a film?
Well, it was a combination between the characters themselves, who they were, what happened to them, the story. I mean, there's two books, actually. The one is like the rise of the love story, and the other one is the fall of that, the ending of that love story. And I was more attracted by the crisis, the end of the love story, and also because during May 68, so it was like different layers of crisis. Jean-Luc Godard was almost 40. I think it was in kind of a midlife crisis. His couple was in a crisis. His artistic life was in a crisis. And Paris and France was in a huge crisis as well. So for a writer, it's very exciting, all these little layers of crisis.
And now, Godard as a filmmaker, in particular the stuff in his filmmaking after 1968, is thought of as this sort of inscrutable, very serious filmmaker. It is not someone that people might directly associate with you and the films that you make. Is there something that you personally sort of take from Godard as a filmmaker? Like, what about his movies speak to you?
Well, I'm a huge fan of his early works, and as a lot of people, actually. And after 68, I feel he doesn't really care about me, which is good. I mean, it's his total freedom. But so I feel a little bit more distant with the movies themselves. I think anyone who made movies after the 60s owned something to him, because he really opened a lot of gates, and he really bring a lot of freedom in cinema. But once I said that, I don't consider myself like a hero of the French New Wave, or not at all. I mean, I make comedies, and I try to make people for the audience. I don't think it's his goal or his point anymore, and that's it. But still, I mean, when I was working on it and doing some research, I think my movies are always also, I try to work on the form of cinema, and he called it language of cinema. I don't know how I call it, but maybe there's something that we have in common, and I don't want to compare myself. It's not the point. I know exactly who he is and who am I. It's not the point, but I know that for me it was very playful. I love to work on that stuff as well. The form of cinema, the language of cinema is something I love to work on.
Well, one of the things I think the film, for me, captures so well is the sense of Godard at this moment of transition and in some ways of crisis as he's moving from a more conventional commercial filmmaking into this more kind of essayistic style, the collaborative films that he would go on to do with the Ziga Vertov group. And did you like the idea of, in some ways, just as 1968 was this sort of transformative moment in a bigger sense for Godard as a filmmaker and as a person, it was very much a transformative moment for him too?
Yeah, I mean, I was struck by the analogy between how he destroyed his life, how he destroyed his couple, and the idea of a permanent revolution. Things have to change. Things have to die to reborn. And yeah, there were a lot of analogy between the different layers. I think it's maybe, I never intended to make a movie about Godard. But when I read the book, I made the decision. And the book really bring me the subject. But now, if I had to make a movie about Godard, I would choose this specific period. Because I think it's the first and the major fracture in his life. He decided to erase everything he did before and to kill himself, literally. He also tried to kill himself, I mean, in the real life. But in an artistic point of view, he killed his own name. He started to work in a group named Ziga Vertov, and his movies were not Godard's movies anymore. They were Ziga Vertov's movies. So I think it's kind of a suicide, like to erase your own name. Your name is what you would keep, whatever. I mean, even if you're a war prisoner and they torture you, at least you will have your name. And he decided to erase that. And so I think it's very important. And what he did there, this auto-revolution, I think it's a pattern that he did again and again, almost every decade. And I think it's why and how he became such a legend, because he reinvented himself like almost every decade. And that's the first decade.
And then tell me a little bit just about figuring out the point of view of the story, the fact that the romance between Godard and Wieczemski is really the emotional core of the film, the sort of just the breakup of their relationship. Was it difficult for you to sort of balance out the bigger elements of the story of 1968 and Godard's career, and then the very small, very personal elements of their relationship and their romance?
No, because I felt, once again, I felt there was a huge analogy. The end of this love story is also the end of the first period of Jean-Luc Godard. And actually, this first period is the one that everybody loves. I mean, if you know Jean-Luc Godard, really, these movies are really awesome. Very easy to love. Even if you don't know and you think that, oh, Jean-Luc Godard, it has to be very difficult, the first period is very easy to love. So the end of this love story is exactly the same of the end of this period. So I felt an analogy, so it was easy for me to go from a level to another one. I don't know, also because all this layer of crisis, I felt things were fitting well together. It was like, to me, for him, it was like an alignment of planets. So I thought it made sense, actually.
And was it a challenge for you simply in recreating some of the events of the film? I mean, you staged the May 1968 protest riots in Paris, and then also the challenge of restaging some of Godard's own films, La Chinoise in particular. Was that difficult to do? Was it difficult to sort of restage those riots?
Yeah, it was difficult, but every movie is difficult, and every shot is difficult. I mean, there's nothing easy when you make a movie. But this one was particularly difficult because I had like 700 extras in the actual streets where things happened for real. And there was this fight with the cops and everything. So yeah, it was not easy. But the most difficult thing for me was trying to find the right balance between irony and respect of the characters, the respect of the story, but also the distance and the comedy I wanted to bring into it, and the attraction and aversion for the character, because it's all the movie is about this. It's not a statue erected to the great Jean-Luc Godard, not at all, but it's not also a trial. It's not a judgment. So I had to find that right balance and between positive parts and negative parts, and that was the most challenging thing. The rest was more traditional difficulties. It's very difficult to direct a crowd. I have some sequences with a lot of extras in La Sorbonne, which was like the famous faculty where everything happened in May 68. And he's talking with 400 or 500 people. And so the people have to react. But 500 people don't react like one person. So it's not like an actor. An actor, you can say, well, you start to smile here and then you laugh and then you think it's very funny. But if you say that to 500 people, it will be like like cattle. They will do all of them exactly the same thing. So, yeah, you have to be creative. But it was fun. I mean, I learned a lot doing this.
And what was it like recreating some of the sequences from Godard's own films? And was that similar at all to the work that you had done on either The Artist or in the OSS pictures, which themselves had this sort of element of like period recreation?
Yeah, it was kind of the same thing. I mean, you really study. I mean, the principle is the same. Usually when people do period movies, they recreate what they are filming. And what I did in the OSS 117 and in The Artist and here again is I recreate what I am filming, but I also recreate how I do film. So I recreate the filming machine. And I feel that it makes something more coherent in a way. So, but that means that you have to study a lot how people would do, and not to mimic it, but to put it in a narrative way and to tell your own story. And you use the way people would do it back in the days, and but you speak from today. So you have to find your how you're going to use these tools. But it's very playful. I mean, it's very fun to do.
And did you want it all for the movie that you were making to itself feel Godardian in some way? I especially think of the sequence in the movie where the two lead actors in the film, Louis Garrel and Stacey Martin, are both themselves fully naked while they're having this conversation about whether or not actors should appear naked in movies. And that seemed to have a kind of a playfulness to it that Godard himself might have done at one point in his filmmaking. And so was a scene like that sort of Godard inspired?
Well, it's a mix, because this sequence, I have to say, I wrote that sequence 25 years ago and I never had the chance to put it, not only in my movies. I would give that sequence to some other friends, directors, but I don't know why I never succeed to put that sequence. And it was the perfect movie to make that sequence. I think it's maybe too comical for Godard himself. But in a way, this movie is the opposite of a Godardian movie. For example, Godard would never do a period movie. Never. He would never work with so many extras. He would never do a movie respecting that much the characters or the story. So it's a very classical movie compared to Godard's movie. I try to use some of his motifs and try to give the flavor of his early movies, to recreate his aesthetic environment, to put him in his own environment. I think it has the flavor of a Godardian movie, but it's very, very, very different.
And then tell me a little bit just about the casting of the film, of both Louis Garrel and Stacey Martin. How was it that you came to cast the two of them?
Well, Louis Garrel was very obvious for me at the very beginning of the writing, because he comes from that kind of cinema. He comes from that author movies, and his father was director, Philippe Garrel, was not mentored, but protégé of Jean-Luc Godard in May 68. And Louis has this very cerebral charm. He doesn't have an animal charm. It's not like this. He's not a sensual guy. He's more intellectual. And I thought it would fit perfectly with the character I wanted to portray. So, and it was a little, not difficult, but it was for him. It was, I think he had like an interior conflict, because he liked the movie, he liked the script, he liked to work with me. But also, I think he was afraid to be maybe too much transgressive with Godard himself, because he worships Godard. But the conflict was very interesting for me. And also, this is the best you can ask to an actor to defend the character, to protect his character. That gives something very special. I couldn't say I wrote it with Louis in mind, because Godard was in mind. And it was the music of Godard, not the music of Louis. But I knew I wanted to offer him the role. And for Stacey, it was different. I had no really actress in mind. I started like a traditional casting, and I saw some young actresses. After 1 week, Berenice told me, you should see Stacey, because they had done a movie together. And when she said that, it was obvious to me. And when she came, she did a test, and it was done. She was just perfect for the role.
And then what did it mean to you to have Anne Wiazemsky be able to see the movie? She was there when it premiered last year at Cannes, but then in the time since then, she's passed away. How do you feel about that? What does it mean to you that she was able to see the movie?
I was very, not nervous, but it was something. She was one of the first person to see the movie. It was before the end of the cutting. It was not the first cut, but maybe I had like 2 weeks left to, I mean, if something was really wrong, I could fix it, but so, and she saw the movie and she was really moved, deeply moved by the movie. She really loved it. She was very happy with it. And she really recognized Godard. So I was, it was a relief for me, because I knew in a way I betrayed the book, but that's, I mean, you have to, when you make a movie is not a book. You don't copy the book. You have to find your own way to tell the same story, or to find the same flavor. So I knew I had to betray. I put a lot of funny things, jokes in the movie, and she liked it. She was very happy. She didn't ask for any kind of change or anything. And yes, it was very intense when we went to Cannes, because she knew, I didn't know it, but she knew she was sick. And she passed like a few months later. And yeah, for her, because she was an actress, so for her to come back to the Cannes Festival with that movie telling her own story based on a book she had written, it was, really moving. I'm very happy to having shared this with her. I wouldn't say we were friends, because friends, it's something different, but we had a lot of respect for each other, and we had a very good relation. And something happened very rare. The first time we met, because she declined many offers for the adaptation of this book, and for some reason she accepted with me. Once she gave an interview in a newspaper, and the way she told the story was exactly the same way I told the story. And it never happens. Usually people tell a story and say, come on, I was there. This is not what happened. Because you don't keep the same things. And she kept exactly the same thing that I did. So we had exactly the same vision of that meeting. It was fun. And she was very nice. She was a good person.
Now, I know you've been asked many times about if you've had any kind of response from Jean-Luc Godard himself. And it's funny in that his sort of unresponsiveness in both the recent Agnès Varda film and then also towards you seems like the ultimate sort of Godardian statement. And then taking it even a step further, 1 year after your film premiered at Cannes, he himself is going to be back at Cannes with a film in competition. Do you think in some ways that is Godard's statement on just about anything, is he's just going to continue making more movies?
Yeah, maybe. You can love him or hate him or whatever, or you don't care like many people, but he's a free man, really. That's something you only can respect. You say he's going to be back in Cannes. I don't think he's going to be there. His movie will be there. His movie has been selected, but I don't know if he will come. Not sure. I love Agnès Varda. I mean, really, I love her, and we are, once again, not friends, but we know each other and we appreciate each other. And I love J.R. as well. So don't misunderstand me for what I said. But I think about this ending of Places, Faces. He co-wrote one of the best sequences of the movie. Not opening the door is something that creates that situation. And we feel so much empathy for Agnes at this moment. He co-wrote it in a way. And the other thing, I would love to see the reverse shot, because we spend 1 hour, 90 minutes with these two so charming person, Agnes and J.R., so we have empathy for them. I would love to spend 90 minutes with Jean-Luc Godard and at the end to understand why he didn't open the door. That would be fair. And in the movie, he looks a little bit like the villain. And I say that because a lot of people say, oh, I see Agnès Varda's movie. And, well, your movie looks accurate because he was like this. It's not that simple. And even in my movie, I mean, even if I make fun of him, I try to portray him as a hero as well, because what he does is heroic in a way. I mean, he decided to do something and against everything and against everyone. He does what he decided to do, which is what heroes do.
That's terrific, Michel. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you very much.
And you've been listening to The Real for the Los Angeles Times. I'm Mark Olson.